This is episode 105, recorded on April 19th, 2013. Peckard Pokeset, condom up the nose, you're in trouble.
Do you want to stream Peckard Pokeset on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peckard Pokeset, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine late edition of Peckard Pokeset. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Peckard Sonic. And join us tonight from the far, far east coast is Joe Unseen.
Tango Charlie 1 to confirm. Copy. Sorry, I've been listening to Boston Police Scanner via the internet all afternoon.
Yes, yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment. And join us also from the Far East Coast and just south of Joe is Crystal Says So from North. I'm going to choose my own religion state, Crystal.
Hey y'all.
No, that's not Crystal's doing. This is just North Carolina's doing. They think they're gonna choose their own state religion. Yeah. But we covered that. We talked about that last week. Just before we get started here tonight, we had, if you don't already know about it, there was a bombing out in Boston during the Boston Marathon. And they just, as of this morning, they killed one of the suspects. And just about a couple of hours ago, just before the show started, they actually caught the other suspect. And apparently these are brothers from a Chechen or something like that. So... So if you're out there saying this is the Muslims that did this, no, you got that wrong. So back off on that point. We have our own issues with the Muslims, but we don't need to blame them for every little thing that goes wrong in this country. Before we get started, though, a couple things. Next week, due to my new work schedule, we're going to have a short show next week. It'll be about a half an hour long. So this way we can try to get in as many stories as we can and still give you some good entertainment along the way. Also, we may be moving the show to a new date and time that has yet to be determined yet for which date and time. So we will let you know either next week or the week after. So just be prepared for that. One more thing, of course. If you want to catch the show and you don't want to have to download it, it is on Mixlr.com/Peckard-Pokestat@. And you can catch all the past episodes from the beta podcast all the way to the most current one. It's mixed in there with some music and some comedy and some other stuff that's in there. So this way you're hearing all the stuff without having to actually download the show. But you don't have any control what you listen to or how much you... listen to. So that's the only bad point about that. So if you do want to find the show, go to iTunes and download the whole show in its entirety, or just come back and listen to us live on VaughnLive.tv/PeckardPokeset, all one word, Friday nights right now at 9 o'clock. But like I said, the time will be changing, but the channel will not. So all right, with all this breaking fast news cycle that's been going on today, let's get on to the first stories for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. There's a song out there. It's called Cocaine. It's a fun song. Can't play it in the schools because schools kind of get a little pissed off because, you know, you're promoting drug use. Well, there is a new way to fight this addiction of cocaine. They are working on a way to actually where they're using lasers to switch off the cocaine searching. Well, the brain is basically, when you have an addiction, the brain is actually searching for the remnants for more cocaine or other narcotics. But in this instance, the certain receptors that are in the brain, they can be switched on and off. It's been turned off in mice. When they turn these certain receptors on, the cocaine searching stops. But if they turn it off, the cocaine searching continues. Now, with humans, they've been able to do is, called a TMS technique, applying an external magnetic field to the brain. It's been shown to switch on and off the activity of the prelimbic cortex. So, Bonick Chen and his colleagues are designing a clinical trial on humans. By using this technique a few times a week on the cocaine addicts, they hope to restore activity to the prelimbic region and help to reduce greater control and less desire for the drug. Crystal, your thoughts?
This is a really interesting study. I tell you, this can get really, really confusing whenever you get down to studying the brain and the different centers of the brain. But this this technique, which is called transcranial magnetic stimulation, it's already being used to improve the symptoms of depression in people. So, you know, it makes sense. Depression often goes along with drug use, and that's kind of a cycle there. But whenever you go to look at the areas this stimulates, it stimulates that area. It also stimulates the limbic system of your brain, which is your pleasure center. Mm-hmm. The prefrontal lobes that it also stimulates, that is more or less memory, emotion, and attention. It's kind of like your body's natural filter. This differences in this, and as far as the transmission of the impulses, there's a decrease in it in people with schizophrenia, with bipolar disorder, depression, ADHD. Really? That's so it kind of really makes sense why this would work. And the studies have already shown they can turn on and off that prefrontal cortex.
So if I'm feeling depressed, I can just stick this thing on my head and go, huh, I'm feeling happy now.
Well, I think it is more telling that people that are depressed and have schizophrenia and stuff don't just use drugs just because they're depressed and have schizophrenia. There's actual a brain that we're actually proving what our theory was to begin with. So This is a really cool thing, considering that, oh gosh, what was the statistics? 1.4 million Americans are addicted to cocaine, with 1.5% of Americans between the ages of 18 to 25 saying that they've used it within the past month.
That's a lot of cocaine.
That's a lot, and it's also the leading cause of heart attacks, strokes in the people under the age of 35.
So if you're over 35 and you take cocaine, you should be okay. No, I'm just kidding.
No, don't use cocaine. You die a little bit later. It's not the first cause of death. It's the second.
Oh. The first cause is being caught by your wife in bed with another woman. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that might work too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a really promising discovery.
Yes, it is. It really is. It's really damn interesting. If they can use this, get this to a point where they, if they're using this magnetic field to help treat people, and if this works, then and having to use other drugs to fight drugs, I think would be a great innovation into the field of fighting these addictions.
Joe, I think that more, you know, even more so though, Packard, is this is a non-invasive thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally external, so that even more so. And it's also got the potential of helping people with long-term memory loss, such as Alzheimer's.
Really?
So, yes, the limbic system damage and Alzheimer's, the different grades of amnesia, all this can be helped by this, and that is all part of this discovery. You just have to dig a little bit deeper, and you kind of got to have a little bit of a medical knowledge to kind of gather that from it. But that is the... kind of the beginning leg to that, so it's really exciting.
Wow, I did not see that in the article, but you must have dug even further than I did.
I did some medical research.
Oh well, you're a nurse, so you would know more way about this than I did. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, I got to stay away from that laser. No way is a laser messing up my cocaine binge trips to Vegas. Sometimes,
hey, make sure you got to take it off the stripper's ass too. You know.
Well, of course. I mean, sometimes not feeling my face is the only way I can make the pain go away. No, but seriously, this sounds like a great breakthrough in the area of drug addiction.
Yes.
Drug addiction affects people differently, and I've known a few people in my life that just couldn't not do drugs once they started.
Yeah.
And if medical science can turn off that desire like a switch, then yeah, I'm all for it. Let's do it on people who are willing to make that change in their lives. That sounds great.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's exactly it. I mean, this way, if they can get treatment and if it's not invasive, this way they don't have to show tracks on their arms for, you know, getting medicine put into them or pills or whatever they were taking. So I think this is really a good idea. What Crystal also added on there was it could also treat depression and these other things as well. So I can just see this being moving the whole technology forward even farther. So, and who knows what else we can accomplish with this. Speaking of accomplishing and new technologies, there's a new device. It's called the Fingerlink. It's supposed to turn paper into touchscreens. Now, if you ever got to watch the latest Battlestar Galactica, well, it's out of production now, but during the beginning of the TV show, they'd show like this piece of paper and you do stuff on top of it. It's not quite that, but it's damn close. What this is a device that sits it out on like a round table. It uses the equipment that's already made. You don't even need anything new. All it's new is the software portion of this. It uses a camera and a projector, and it looks at the item that's sitting on the table. It could be a book. It could be a piece of paper, anything. And you just put your finger on the screen and touch it and move it over, and it highlights it. It just scans it right in, and it moves it off to the side, just like you would, like if you were to take an icon on an iPhone or move it over and slide it over. Or an icon on your desktop and move it over. And in this instance, instead of just moving the icon, it actually scans it in. So this could be something that's very useful, especially for putting in old books, because they're very delicate. And if you can just to open them up and then put down your finger and then scan in the segment that needs to be scanned in, then you can preserve it without having to smash it all down and to get the scanner just right. And since it can read around the curves, then that's even better because you got, besides the old books, if you ever tried to scan something in, then you know that sometimes the words come out all garbled and the scanner doesn't pick them up right. And then your document, you just have to sit there spending more time trying to correct the document than you're actually scanning the stupid thing in. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, when I first saw this system in action, I thought, big deal. You know, it was just placing a touch coordinates on a flat piece of paper with text and graphics on it. But then I realized that they were using it as a scan input device. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. But then they demonstrated that the technology could be used for 3D manipulation using gestures.
Yep.
And that's when my eyes got big. This is a precursor to the kind of computer input fantasized in movies like Minority Report and Iron Man, where you just wave your hands around and change the blueprints in, like, let's say, an AutoCAD design, right, or what you want a 3D printer to make. So, yeah, I want one. This is really cool.
Yes, I think so, too. It's there's a video attached to it, and there'll be a link at packerpokes@wordpress.com to the article. The guy would actually just stick his fist out and up and down, and then the image would become larger. And if he turned his fist, then the image would turn as well. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's so cool.
Yes, it was really interesting. I mean, and you're right. Like in Minority Report and a lot of other technical movies where they like put their fingers in the air and stuff, documents are moving around. It's the same thing. It's not quite there where it's going to be in the air yet. But, I mean, it's a good start.
Let's say take this and plus 20 years. We're going to have exactly what we see in the movies. We're going to see, Robert Downey Jr. waving his arms to the air like, all right, throw this in the garbage, do this project. Hey, I want to look inside the engine of my car. And it's just like that kind of graphic user interface of just waving your hands around.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yes, absolutely. And I can see this being used, and maybe even someday in schools and whatnot, because this way the iPad and everything, it's going away. But, I mean, it's good technology, don't get me wrong, but something like this, even better.
Well, Tony Stark in Iron Man had that cool see-through cell phone that was like a piece of glass and had the holograms on it. He was still touching it. He was still physically touching it.
Yep, that's exactly it, too. Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a whole lot that I can add that you guys didn't already cover. No special hardware, just an ordinary webcam and a commercial projector, and they think that they can have a commercial version by the fiscal year 2014.
Yes.
So it's neat, right around the corner.
Absolutely. That's next year. I mean, that's just 7 months away. I hope they have something commercial, but seeing that this technology is new, and we all know how expensive new technology is, I'm guessing this, when this first comes out, it's going to be between $2,000 and $4,000. That's a guess. I could be completely wrong. It may be $800. What do you think it's going to be, Crystal? Just a guess.
You know what? My actual thing, I said $2,000.
$2,000? Okay, Joe, what do you think something new like this is going to cost?
I didn't read the part where Crystal read. You said it's made from just basic webcams?
Yeah, it's basic webcam and a projector. A
commercial projector.
Yep.
You can get a webcam for $89 right now. So right. I would say if it's like a stereoscopic webcam for up and down and another one for left and right, and then you need a projector, so less than $500 for the first model, and then they would get cheaper after that.
You think so? You think it'll be cheap as $500?
You can get an Xbox Kinect, which will detect your entire body's movements for less than $200. Plug it into your Xbox, and you can dance around in front of your Xbox. So.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, this is the company's first.
And that uses a laser. That uses a laser to detect your whole body with infrared. True. Everything like that's a lot more complicated than this.
Mm. Okay, well, I guess we'll wait and see who's closer.
Talking Primate in the chat room asks what the porn implications might be.
Oh! Let's make that penis bigger, smaller, bigger, smaller, bigger, smaller.
Do you like how I'm digitally manipulating your penis? Would you like me to digitally manipulate your balls?
Just throw them down there.
Too fast, overload. I'm crashing.
Oh, that's too funny. All right, well, let's get into our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
That's too funny.
Yes, it is.
Wait, this isn't The Onion?
No, this is not The Onion in this case.
This is actual news.
This is actual news.
Shut up.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Speaking of penises, from our last story, there's videos that are going around YouTube. Now, there's a couple videos that got pulled just recently, but there's still a lot of them up there that people are what they're doing is they're putting things up their nose, and I'm not
people, kids,
not kids. Yeah, well, kids are people, but yeah, kids are doing this, not adults generally, not adults. But basically, this is based on some song which I haven't heard. But what they're doing is they're taking a condom, they're shoving up their nose, and then they're snorting them out, and they're pulling them out the mouth. And it's really disgusting. You know, being lubed for your pleasure is one thing, but I mean, ew, through your nose, that's just gross and disgusting. I can't imagine why anybody would. What is the motivation of shoving a condom up your nose and then pulling out your mouth? Yes, you have a septum that connects from your nose to your mouth. You know, that's how your body evolved. But it's not evolved to put a condom up there. You know, the problem here is if you put a condom in there and something and it tears or something, it could get lodged in there, or even worse, could go down and into your lung, and then you're dead. Crystal, your thoughts?
I'd like to know how many kids have ended up in the ER with a condom or a piece of a condom that they've had to go down into their lung and get out. And I said, you know, that's not fun. And it's really dangerous, actually. I mean, this trick, I've seen it before with, like, long spaghetti noodles. So it's not anything that's, like, new about people sticking things down their nose.
Well, I've eaten spaghetti noodles and it come up the other direction. But, I mean,
You know, one way or the other, please. Watching some of those videos, it was kind of funny because you could tell the ones that were using, like, the really big long Trojans. And actually, they had a little bit better success.
Really?
But the dangerous part is that the base of those condoms are about the same size as your trachea, and you really could occlude your airway really, really easily. So don't try this at home, people. Please. Let the guys on Jackass take care of it. And yes. You just watch.
Yes. Joe, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. As gross as this is, as Crystal mentioned, it's a rehash of the spaghetti nose trick. Despite that, after watching the YouTube videos of kids snorting and coughing up these condoms, the only thing that passed through my mind was, damn, I could do that.
So, really?
I mean, the next time I'm in a truck stop, I'm going to stick 50 cents in the men's room vending machine. And yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. That's gross.
It's really gross.
Only at least, strawberry ones.
At least it wasn't already used. Ew.
Well, at least the kids are practicing safe sex. They're not going to get herpes and AIDS in their noses.
Right.
you know, and, you know, if they use a ribbed condom, it's for their pleasure.
Nose condom.
Nice.
These people are just...
You wouldn't believe the shit I've sucked into my nose. See story one.
Yes, see story one. Speaking of things you should not be either sticking up your nose or sticking into a condom, a man named Sidney Levin, he was accused of using a Wizinator. Okay, it doesn't sound like it's anything bad, but what it was, he was using this to beat a drug test. Now, this Wizinator, I went to the site. What they do is they sell urine, clean urine. I didn't even know this was a viable option. Hell, if I had known people needed clean urine, hell, I'd been cleaned up by now.
Oh, yeah. The adult head shop near where I live sells vials of clean urine, human urine.
Really?
So you could pass a drug test, yep.
Hell, I'll give me their address. I'll sell them some of mine. I'm sure I'm clean. Anyway, he tried to beat a drug test. He's 34 years old, and he used the thing is, he used a prosthetic penis. Apparently, what they do is they don't just, you know, close the door. I've had lots of drug tests because of the type of work I do. But they, you know, give us some privacy. They let us go in the room and use the bathroom. But apparently, they actually have to observe you using the bathroom. So he pulls out a fake penis and then tried to force it to pee out of it. And obviously the guard, I guess, thought something, you know, looked a little funny.
The guard was like, hey, that's a Wizinator. I got one of those. Wait a minute.
Crystal, your thoughts?
In a jail-type situation or the drug probation, I think this fellow was a repeat offender.
Mm-hmm.
They actually do have to watch you urinating.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to give him an A for effort anyway. That was pretty original to stick a Wizinator through a dildo and give it a whirl. So,
give it a whirl.
I can just imagine the look on the guard's face because, you know, you'd have to, like, laugh first, then arrest him. So, yeah. I don't know.
Actually, I looked at the page, they actually sell the penis with the fake urine.
How much do they cost?
As I recall, they were about $50 to $100, I believe.
Oh, crap. The good ones are always expensive.
Joe, your thoughts.
Hold on. I'm rolling quarters. No, what is really funny about this is he was charged with possession of a forging instrument,
mm-hmm.
a.k.a. the Wizinator.
Right.
I mean, how do you explain that to people? Well, I was trying to commit fraud with the Wizinator.
A fake penis?
What is it? Well, it's a fake penis that can piss. Yeah, this guy is a genius. Of all the known ways to beat a piss test, this guy uses a pissing dildo. I mean... you Packard, you're a professional driver, so you have
yes.
to be drug tested often.
Yes.
I'm friends with a guy who drives a cab, and he has to pass drug tests every now and then, and he can't otherwise. He's not like you. He's clean. He's not clean.
He's not clean?
Well, he smokes weed sometimes.
Ah.
But I've asked him. I was like, well, what do you do? And he's like, well, I take a condom filled with my kid's urine. I'm like, ew! He's like, and I safety pin it to the inside of my underwear.
Oh, my gosh.
And I have a second safety pin, and I break the condom into the cup, and I have to keep it in my pants to keep it warm because the piss test can tell if the urine is too cold.
Right.
And all this other stuff. And I'm like, and it works? He's like, oh, yeah, it works every time. I'm like, oh, jeez. Like, why don't you just stop smoking weed? He's like, I don't want to.
Jesus Christ. What a fucking moron. You know, personally, I hope this guy gets caught. Honestly, I'm
who? Your, my friend?
Your friend. I kind of hope he gets caught.
No, he's a good guy.
I know he's a good guy, but still, you know, this is he's putting people in danger, you know.
Not really. I mean,
well, still, he's obviously.
If he does on the weekend, doesn't matter what he does on the weekday.
You know, there one thing is, though, if they decide to go to a hair test, he's screwed. Because they'll just cut it right off his head, and they can test it from there. So
yeah, but I don't know that weed shows up on hair
it
tests.
Does.
I think it's only cocaine and stuff.
Keep
well,
it
you know, marijuana right. stays in your system for 30 days,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like he's smoking weed and then going and driving people around in his cab.
I hope
you know,
not.
He
anyway.
He hangs out on the weekend. He does what he does, and then you know during the week he's stone cold sober. He's just doing what
okay.
he does. You know, so
yeah.
like it is kind of very restrictive. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it still shows up in hair tests, because I know I had to look into it for I had to do a hair test one time, and it will show up in there from what I understand, because I looked.
Oh,
it
yeah,
up, so.
Yeah. I used to work in video stores, and kids that worked in the Blockbuster across the street, they used to get hair tested.
Mm-hmm.
And I would talk to them about it. I'm like, so what's it like getting hair tested? And they're like, well, it's very strange. Our manager cuts hair off of our head, sticks it to a piece of tape, and then mails it to somebody to test.
Yep.
I'm like, so it's not like a nurse or a doctor or anything? They're like, no, it's the asshole I work for.
Yep.
I'm like, that sucks.
That's all it takes. Anybody can do it. You can do it yourself if you want to. You can go get the hair test. Actually, I think you have to have a doctor do it, because they have to have or somebody else actually has to cut it off, and they have to sign all this stuff, because you can't just do it yourself. So I suppose you really could, unless you wanted to prove it to somebody else that you haven't been doing anything. But it's yeah.
I would rather have a medical professional do something like that as opposed to my boss.
Right.
I mean, let's say my boss didn't like me, and he was going around. He knew, like, you know, Sally Lou smoked a lot of weed, and he used her hair and put it in my sample bag. Like,
oh,
that's
yeah.
Just, that's messed up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, plus, no,
it depends on where it's at. I mean, like, you know, the most recent hair that you've grown out is the one that's closest to your scalp versus mm-hmm. mine that's all the way down to my butt. You know, if they cut just the hair off the end, that might have been 4 years ago that I had it done. So
well,
it does have to be done by somebody. It should be done by a medical
right.
and somebody.
It has to be done real close to the root. Otherwise, you can't. Mm-hmm. And it just because – and I found out the one thing, though, is it doesn't matter how long the hair is. They can only go out so many months or so many weeks, actually. Even though your hair is all the way that long, Crystal, they couldn't, like, test you for everything. They can't test the whole hair. They can only, because it's been washed, rinsed, and the whole nine yards. And then eventually that stuff comes out of it because it's just dead.
I actually had a manager who told me he worked for a company where he was responsible for collecting the hair samples for drug tests.
Yeah.
And he said that the instructions said that he had to take from the back of the neck the shortest hair possible.
Oh, yeah.
So he couldn't take from the bottom of a ponytail from like 4 years ago. You
right.
know?
Right. Which was what I was saying, Packard, was like if I wanted to do it myself or if I've got a poorly trained manager that just can flip this ponytail around and cut it, well, maybe I didn't use it a couple of years ago. But, you know, like you said, you have to have it from as close to the scalp as you can get it, and there back at the neck tends to grow faster,
mm-hmm.
and it gives a better sample.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. All right,
can I say Wizinator one more time?
Wizinator.
Call now, buy your Wizinator. It pisses while you pretend to have a dick.
I know some people that could use that.
Oh. I think some people would just rather just be better if they actually had some balls, not just a dick. Anyway, speaking of which, let's get on to our next topic. They got paid for their sound bites and sold their TV movie rights. Trayvon Martin. We covered him on the show, being killed by George Zimmerman. And just a quick update, they say there's new evidence that may exonerate him, but that's not this story, unfortunately, but we will discuss that here briefly. There is a police officer, his name is Ron King, and he was fired for bringing an offensive target to the gun range. This officer, police officer, the person who's supposed to be out there protecting and serving the public, he brought a target that... It wasn't a picture of Trayvon Martin, but it was a person in a hoodie carrying a bag of Skittles and his hand in his pocket. Really? How fucking obscene. This kid died. Okay? Why don't we take this... Why don't we go and take a picture and make a silhouette of your fucking mother or your dad or your brother or even you and put it up there and say, hey, worst comes to worst... let's say we put make a target of a police officer and put it out there. Would you like that too? That would be fucking obscene. Police officers out there, they have to do target practice. Yes, I understand that, because they have to keep in practice. But shooting at a target that looks like Trayvon Martin? Fuck you! You deserve to have your goddamn job taken away from you. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck? I mean, Trayvon Martin shooting targets. Really? okay, so I can see some stupid redneck website selling these this offensive crap, but you know, but for a police officer to think it's appropriate to bring this to a police gun range for use, mm-hmm. yeah, no. This guy got fired, and he should have been fired because he should have known better.
Right.
I mean, that's just completely outrageous. Like, I'm sure he made some YouTube videos explaining why he did it, but it's like, oh, for the yucks. But, like, no, not for the yucks. Like, this is a controversial case. It's not a settled case. A 17-year-old kid got killed by a civilian. You don't go and, like, you know, it's almost like making a political statement at work. So you don't go and do that. It's very, very inappropriate. This guy completely deserved to lose his job for this.
Yes, I agree. He deserved to lose his job. I don't care what kind of excuse he comes up with. It's inappropriate. And putting up a picture of a person in a hoodie, that's fucking asinine all the way around. Crystal, your thoughts?
Sad. I watched the YouTube video that this police officer made, too, that was trying to explain his response to this, and, you know, he's claiming to be a pawn along with Trayvon Martin's parents mm-hmm. As a political pawn, because the person that actually turned him into human resources was a fellow police officer that has it out for the police chief, and this Ron King that was fired believes that this officer is doing so to try to get the chief out, make everybody look bad kind of deal. I really didn't see him as being like that apologetic as far as even having these targets and bringing them out in front of two other officers who promptly told him to put the target back in his car. It goes beyond poor taste. It just goes beyond poor judgment. I do think he deserved to lose his job over this, and I really don't care what his excuse is.
All right. No, I completely agree. And Talking Primate in the chat room says, what if this officer had put a target of Obama up there? They probably would have fired him for the same thing. You know, that's the it's not quite the same because it's a totally different situation. But I mean, what if he had put up a picture of Obama on there? Would they have been laughing about that too? This is a black child, 17 years old, lost his life because some idiot wouldn't stay in his fucking car and went down and hunted down this child. And now I did say there was an update to the story. They're saying that he went to his physician, his private physician afterwards, like a day after or whatever, after all this had happened, and said there was bruises on the back of his neck or whatever. You know, either he could have either paid off the doctor, or he could have gone home and had someone hit him in certain places so it would make it look like he was more injured than he was. So this new evidence is total asinine bullshit as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if anybody else got a chance to catch on that. Did you, Crystal or Joe?
I'm only going by what I saw when he was taken into custody or taken in for questioning, mm-hmm. and the pictures that were made there. There was evidence there of some type of a scuffle, but again, we're not going to know exactly what happened.
Right.
The whole fact of the matter is he should have stayed his ass in the car like the police told him to do.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. Joe, we already heard from you on this one, didn't we? Yes.
I mean, I think what's his name? The guy that shot him,
Greg Zimmerman.
Yeah. I mean, he was brought into police custody with wounds, and he said it was self defense, and he was bleeding from his head, and that's proven by photographs.
Right.
So until we get to trial, we're not going to know exactly what happened and see how this plays out. But the fact remains, the police, as Crystal mentioned, did tell him stay in your car, don't do anything, and this guy followed this kid around in the darkness looking for trouble.
Right.
So I don't with a gun in his pocket. Right. So.
Yeah, I don't care what kind of excuses he comes up with. I don't care how beat he got. He chased after him. He is guilty, period.
That's George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman. What did I say?
I think it's Greg.
Did I say Greg?
No, it was like Elmo Zimmerman, something like that.
Elmo Zimmerman.
But just to keep you from having to do a repeat here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, George Zimmerman, yeah. You're fucking guilty, man. That's all I'm concerned. You're fucking guilty. But hey, I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. And I hope justice is served. I really hope justice is served. Speaking of justice being served, the only abortion clinic in Mississippi got a license reprieve. Now, Mississippi has been trying to use these trap laws to basically shut down abortion clinics because they know that constitutionally they cannot shut them down. So they make sure that they push through a bunch of rhetoric through the state legislature so that way the doctors that are there, they have to be, have a special license or they have special permission to go to the hospitals in the surrounding area. So this way, if there is a complication, they say that the doctor has to accompany the patient to those hospitals and they have to have admitting privileges. And they know that these hospitals will not give them admitting privileges. And they gave them time to try to get these privileges administered because they know that these hospitals would blatantly outright refuse them. And if they even accepted them, oh, then the shit would hit the fan with those hospitals and they'd have their medical license revoked. And they don't want that. So they put up all these cockamamie things for these abortion clinics to have the building this size and the tray area has to go over here or whatever and some bullshit. But the federal judge put a temporary block on the Mississippi from revoking these licenses for the state's only abortion clinic. The U.S. judge, District Judge Daniel P. Jordan III, extended the injunction he issued several months ago, which basically blocks the state from closing the abortion clinic while he tries to fulfill a 2012 state law. And I personally hope they not only just temporarily block this, but permanently block it. You can't block abortion. It is constitutionally protected. And I don't care what your stance is on it. It's a constitutional right. Period. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's good to see that despite backwards agenda-driven state officials, there are still federal judges willing to step in and do what is right and fair in cases such as this. The article mentions Nancy Northrup, president and CEO of the Center of Reproductive Rights, and she said, "While the women of Mississippi may be able to breathe a collective sigh of relief today, this fight is far from over."
Yeah.
And, you know, she's right. The ruling is just a stay until the federal lawsuit can be settled. And a permanent solution to protect women's reproductive freedom in Mississippi is still a ways to go.
Yeah.
So.
And what they don't understand, what they really don't understand is that they think that, well, if we get rid of the abortion clinics, all abortion will just go away like a magical fairy. Whee! No.
No, they'll find other ways to do it. And then that's the scary part.
Yes, it is. And they will. And I've heard senators reply on this, some pastors, they say, "Well, that's okay if they try to give themselves an abortion, they die. Well, that's just tough, you know."
That's atrocious.
And it is. It really is atrocious. I think actually I heard what was his name? One of the people who ran for president just recently. But anyway,
you're quoting him accurately.
Yes, sure I am. But I have heard that statement, though. I've either heard it from senators or it was him. The fact that they think that, you know, if they give the women try to and they end up killing themselves because they tried to give themselves an abortion, they think this is moral. This is the most immoral act. All abortion clinics do is they make it safer. That's all it is. It just makes it safer.
A lot of times they don't provide abortions. I mean, we've talked about this before. They provide medications that cause menstruation, which is preventing pregnancy.
Right.
So it's not abortion. It's just, you know, the Plan B pill, like we talked about last time, or the morning after pill, all those things. Like, you know, it's just craziness.
Yes.
It's complete craziness. What they are fighting is what they are promoting at the same time.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, the places like Mississippi, because they teach abstinence only, they have the highest pregnancy rates.
Well, Texas has the highest, but Mississippi's up there because they also teach abstinence only, just like Texas.
Right. Well, Texas is a larger state, so they actually have more population. So.
Exactly.
But, I mean, if they would teach proper sex education, these kids, they think, you know, if they don't teach them sex, they won't want to have sex. Bullshit. Their numbers are not there, people. The teaching them sex education shows that those numbers go down. Not up. Just because you teach about sex doesn't mean they're going to go out and have it. If you don't teach them about it, that means they're going to be, oh, well, what is all this about? It's like the forbidden fruit. You know, they got to go and take a bite of it, and they're going to find out. And then that's because they don't know what to do with their bodies. They're going to get pregnant. And we've had this discussion on the show.
The last thing on my mind when I was 16 years old was sex.
What was the first thing in my mind? The first thing in the morning? No,
I'm kidding, of course. I mean, and you know what? Boys get this bad reputation of always like being these sex hounds when they're teenagers.
Uh-huh.
When I was a teenager, and I'm not making a generalization about women at all, it's just my own personal experience. A lot of the girls were like looking for it more than the boys were. And
really?
It's like, you know, it's just teenagers. It's what teenagers do.
Yeah, well, I never had that experience. Of course, you know, the area I grew up, we were like, eh, so. Zombieland.
You obviously grew up in an abstinence only state.
Well, Wisconsin, yeah, but it's either that.
I'm not saying all girls were like that. You know, I mean, it's just
in your area. Well,
as a high school kid, you know,
Joe, I'm going to go back in time. I'm going to take myself and I'm going to put them over in your school. And then no, just kidding.
Okay, fine. You can go to high school with me. That's fine.
There you go. I'm totally kidding. Crystal, your thoughts.
This is like you both have said, I think you really covered it fairly well. It's temporary. And I think it's just kind of I do believe this, Judge Jordan is trying to help the women by what little you can find out about him. I do believe he's trying to do what he can. But again, it clearly says that this is only done because there is a lawsuit pending, and mm-hmm. you cannot force them to close down while this lawsuit is pending. This might buy them 3 months, but this fight's got to continue. And I tell you, there's a lot that goes in behind what these requirements that they're making, and they're requiring these doctors to have admitting privileges at the local hospital. The hospitals that they've applied to so far, the clinics have not been able to get admission privileges for these doctors. And there's many reasons for that. You know, for the hospitals, if they are religious hospitals, they do not want the protesters. They do not want the negative, quote, press from having All right. abortion patients there. That being said, silently, this could be done. If there is a lady that gets into trouble at this abortion clinic, an ambulance is called and she's taken to the hospital as a private patient, and the two doctors will correspond between themselves on her care. Usually, ladies that do have problems do not need to be admitted to the hospital. They may have to have a further procedure, and then they're still discharged that day. It is an underhanded way to control what women do. Uh-huh. It is very much an underhanded way for the ladies in Mississippi because it is the only abortion clinic. Many doctors that practice in abortion clinics, maybe, you know, they are OBGYNs, but they do not maybe want to deliver babies anymore. And you know, or maybe they're getting a little on the older side, so they don't want to be as active and all having to take patients at a local hospital.
Right.
So they really, you know, Mississippi has really kind of done a thing to where the women are going to have to fight doubly hard for their rights, because this is something that's going to be hard to fight.
Yes.
When it has to involve these other bigger hospitals and these admission privileges. They've really got a great big fight on their hands, and this 3 months is nothing. I really do hope that – I hope they can get some things turned around. I hope this judge stays on their side.
I do too.
I hate to see what's going to happen if they do succeed in closing this place down.
I don't think it'll hold constitutional muster, as Dan used to say, you know, because I don't think they physically can. I mean, because of the fact is, and this is not the only state. Another state saw the way Mississippi was doing.
Alabama.
Alabama, that's it. And yes. They go, hey, they're shutting them down over there. We'll just do the same thing.
No, I think the scary part is that I do think that it's a possibility they can close this clinic down.
Yes.
I believe that, you know, it may be even more than likely, because when you're dealing with the corporations, you're dealing with this admission factors, which, like I said, the general public wouldn't be aware of. Okay, well, why can't they just give them admission privileges? Well, the doctors themselves usually do not want it, for one thing,
mm-hmm.
and the hospital is very much going to be bought and paid for by the politicians.
Yep.
So that's what scares me, is I think they may be able to close this place down.
I personally hope they can't. I mean, the judge says, okay, these laws are unconstitutional, you can't push these through, and then force them to rethink their position. And personally, if they force these abortion clinics closed, I hope they lose all federal funding. I personally, I hope they lose all federal funding. And, you know, when I'm talking about Arkansas and – or Alabama, excuse me, and Alabama and Mississippi, every time I hear about them trying to shut down abortion clinics by using these trap laws or any state that's using trap laws, I get the song, you know, or the music in my head, the dueling banjos, because that one, that movie Deliverance, the just the backward thinking. But anyway, speaking of backward thinking, let's get into our next topic for this evening.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
And again, it is the month of fools. We're gonna go right into our discussion topic tonight. And tonight's topic is, we're going to be talking about children. Are you basically going to be in trouble, or I should say, suffer the sins of your parents or not? You know, the Bible is one of those things where it's based on a whole shitload of contradictions. There is, it says you can do this and you can't do it at the same time. This is another one of those contradictions. There are several passages in the Bible. Exodus 20:5, 34:7. That's also in Exodus. Numbers 14:18. Deuteronomy 5:9. And Isaiah 14:21. Basically, these passages read that if you are a child and your father fucks up, you're going to suffer for several generations. I'll just read one here real quick from Exodus 20:5. It says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So if, let's say, because I'm an atheist, then according to this passage, that my kids are suffering to go to hell, even if it's to say, let's just say for shits and giggles, one of them becomes a Christian. But no, according to their God, they go to get burned in hell anyway. And let's just say they have children. Let's say, well, their children become Christians. Never knew that I was an atheist. And, oh, no, you're going straight to hell too. Fourth and fifth generations? So we have to wait 5 generations. That's fucking bullshit. Oh, and but let's look at the other side of this. In Deuteronomy 24:16, it says here that the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for their fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So which fucking is it? Your Bible doesn't make sense. Every time I open this thing up and I look and delve more deeper into this damn thing, not only does it confuse the fuck out of me even more, I have to scratch a hole to my brain because this thing is just fucking convoluted. If you're actually thinking this Bible actually makes sense, really? I don't think so. I really don't think so. You're reading a book of fantasy, fairy tales. Go read Superman. You'll have more fun. Let's start the timer. And the timer starts now.
Hold on. I'm not done with the Wizinator. No, this Bible contradiction involves 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 passages in the Bible that contradict over whether or not children are to suffer for the parents' sins versus children are not to suffer for the parents' sins. Now, you read Exodus 25.
Right.
And in that it says, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation.
Yes.
Now, this contradicts Deuteronomy 5:9. It coincides with Deuteronomy 5:9, where it says, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me. It's almost verbatim. It's almost like whoever wrote Deuteronomy copied Exodus 25. Right. So these two passages coincide, and they do not contradict. They're probably plagiarisms. However, in the same book, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 24:16, parents are not to be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin. That is a clear contradiction to what Exodus 25 and Deuteronomy 5:9 say. It just does not match up.
No.
Now, then we flash forward to Ezekiel, who's one of the prophets.
All right.
And he says in 18:19-20, you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep my decrees, he will surely live. And one who sins is the one who will die. And the child not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child.
All right.
The righteous of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. So, boom, right there, Ezekiel is contradicting all of this. It's contradicting Exodus. It's contradicting Numbers. It's contradicting Deuteronomy. Right there. So I went and looked up some apologist website. I found Tekton, Education and Apologist Ministry. And they mention a lot of these passages.
Mm-hmm.
And they say things like, do these verses reveal a major contradiction in the Bible? Does one teach individual responsibility for sin while the other teaches that one can be punished for the sin of another? Do these contradict? There are a couple answers for this one, and it goes into this nonsense, referring to different passages, and it says things like, let me find a good one here. They don't really fit the bill. We need to separate the wheat from the calf. Hold on.
Time's clicking, no. Joe.
Oh,
do you want me to hop in while you're looking?
Joe, while you're looking at it.
I was just going to say that I think that the thing that I think about is we're all kind of products of the original sin. And I think that that's one thing that we're all taught. Look at childbirth. We're still bearing the brunt of the pain because Adam and Eve sinned. So if you really want to go back down to basics, we're all paying for the sins of Adam and Eve, according to the Bible.
According to the Bible, but, you know, that's just childbirth is naturally painful. That's just, you know, that's, I don't
but
think
it,
that
but it's in there that you'll suffer through childbirth because of
that's
that.
That's a result of evolution, though.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve is a scientifically disproven idea that
humans
evolved from a population of about 20,000 animals that were human-like,
right?
Not so much from a single human and a single male and a single female.
Yeah, because it's genetically not viable. By the time if they tried to do it that way, there's no way that the human race would have survived. It would have been impossible.
Not saying that's the way I think. I know that's what the Bible says.
Right, exactly. I know what you're saying. I would just point it out.
I do think these passages contradict one another, though. I mean, the two passages in Deuteronomy.
There you go. Even Crystal says it. She even says it's a blatant contradiction. She's the Christian here on the show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Deuteronomy 5:9 versus Deuteronomy 24:16. It's the same book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same book. And supposedly the first five books of the Old Testament were written by Moses.
Right.
So that includes Exodus, Deuteronomy, I think Numbers. And the later books here that are mentioned, like Isaiah 14:21 and Ezekiel, those are written by prophets that came later. But here we have numerous passages from Noah or from Moses contradicting one another.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And this is
allegedly from Moses.
Right. Well, I don't believe Moses existed either. So I think.
And just to throw this in, just as a quickie.
Sure.
But this is kind of like seen around here too. If when something happens to like one's child, that religious parent does take that as I'm being punished. This is God's punishment. I did something wrong.
Oh, that's crazy. If the kid does something wrong, that's on the child. That's not on the parent. And vice versa.
I'm saying with let's say your child came down with cancer, then they're blaming themselves.
That's completely out of the control of the parents.
I'm being punished via my child.
Right. Yeah. No. Then that then that's I think that in that case, not you, Crystal, but these people are crazy because they think if their kid gets cancer, it's nothing that they did. It's, and Joe just said it. They have that's something out of their control completely. It's not like they use the whole God quotient to show that just because they can't understand it. It's just that when they say that, it's just an argument from ignorance on that on their part. Not yours, but theirs.
I don't know so much as an argument from ignorance, or if it's just a matter of another kind of the guilt thing.
Yeah.
A guilt complex.
Sorry. Time's up. But no, you can finish your thought real quick here, Crystal.
I'm done.
Okay. Okay. No, but I understand. They think they're feeling guilty for their parent or their child being who got sick. And I can understand that. I can understand that completely. But it's not that they had any control over. It's DNA. If nothing else, if they want to feel responsible, tell them they had sex with the wrong person.
Didn't we all?
Yeah, well. or they could just say, hey, and someone is a talking primate in the chat room said, blame God. He made cancer.
Well, you know, he had a Wizenator and he said he would pull out and he didn't. And
yeah, that's exactly it. So anyway, yeah, but this is a blatant contradiction. If this does not prove to you that the Bible is total garbage, you haven't even begun to read it. Read that book. If you think that this book is true, read the damn thing. And I mean, read all of it. And don't just say, oh, I don't like this passage, and so I'm going to dismiss it. If you claim everything is in there true, don't dismiss anything. This is the fastest way to become an atheist. Read the goddamn Bible. It will prove that this is bullshit.
What? So. I think the Bible is culturally important and historically important. However, for it to be the inerrant word of God, if you just read it, if you just sit down and read it and see all the contradictions in it, the last blog I saw on it was 1,529 contradictions.
Oh, really? That's a lot
of
contradictions.
Sam Harris's organization put out a graphic of arcs moving from one passage in the Bible to the other where they contradicted, and it was just a rainbow of multiple arcs of red going from one passage to the next of which ones contradicted the other. And yeah, it's clearly not an inerrant work of God. It's clearly a flawed work of primitive humans, Iron Age, Bronze Age humans, writing down myths and compiling them together into a book, not knowing what the other person was writing, not knowing how much of difference this book versus that book was. And so when they were all compiled together into one volume, boom, it's a mess.
Yes, it is. It really is a big mess. And personally, I don't think historically, I don't think it makes it. I don't see anything historical about the Bible. The fact that it's just been
It's historic as in it's one of the most important books in human history. It's the most influential book.
It's most influential, but there's been a lot of things that throughout history that have been influential. That doesn't mean they're good or bad or good necessarily. But I definitely
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's like, I mean, the Bible has led to wars. It's led to genocide. It's led to witch hunts. You know, inquisitions, but you know it is an important historical book.
Well,
but
it's not
necessarily a history book.
All right, there's a distinction. Now there you go.
Right.
There's the
because a lot of the things that are considered historical in the Bible are now known to be not true.
Right.
However, the Bible does mention every now and then something that did historically. They have archaeological evidence that it did happen, and you know that's that. But that just only means that the people who wrote the individual passages or the individual books in the Bible were aware of things that happened around them.
Oh, I got you.
That's all it means.
Okay. All right. I got you. But I mean, just for me, I mean, I think I'd rather read a copy of Superman.
There's the new movie coming out soon, Man
of
Steel.
Go watch the movie. So, anyway.
And it's all about the yellow sun.
That's right. And please don't take the book as science out there. It's a historical document, not a history document. So
exactly.
So
exactly.
There's the distinction.
And it's
there's
not a scientific document either, because it's full of it's over 150 scientific blatant scientific inaccuracies, such as I mean, my favorite one, my absolute favorite one is day one, God creates light. Day four, God creates the sun, the source of light.
So light was there before the sun. Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
And people have tried to argue with me. They're like, well, no, God was the light. I'm like, no, that's not what it says. It says God created the light.
That's right.
And on the fourth day, 4 days later, he created the sun, which is where light comes from.
Right, exactly. See, perfect. Another contradiction right there. We're not even covering that one, but that's another perfect example.
And on day three, he created plants, which needs the sun for its light.
Right, exactly. But
it goes on and on and on.
It goes on and on and on. Read it. If you don't, hey, don't believe us. Please, don't believe us. Go look up for yourself. These things are in there. Read these things. The fastest way to make you understand, this book is it's a fairy story. It's a book of stories, people. That's it. There's no
full of unicorns and sea monsters and whales that can swallow people for days on end.
Yeah, exactly. These are the book of stories. These are just
what
a book
do
of
you
stories.
Guys have against unicorns? I swear.
Well,
I was penetrated by a unicorn last week, and I didn't like it.
Leave the unicorn alone, would you?
Well, you know, Skittles are delicious, but they are unicorn shit.
Right.
All right.
Well, we've beaten this topic to death, so let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Jessica K. Sage. That's J-E-S-S-I-C-A-S-A-G-E, the number 4. I'm going back to school to be a scientist. Or maybe a cake decorator. Hashtag decisions. Yeah, I think if you're going to choose between became a scientist or a cake decorator, you might want to choose your classes a little carefully there. So.
Yeah, they're not the same classes.
No, but there's a little science in cake decorating. There is some science in it. I mean, there's science in making, just preparing food, but it's low-level science. But
right.
It's not
quite decorating it, though.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Well, it's art is a science in itself.
Mathematics, maybe.
Yes, mathematics, and mathematics is a science. So
I knew a cake decorator that can make any flower in a flower shop using a cake bag.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And that's skill.
Yes, it is.
That is.
Yeah. I like the ones that the cake decorators make TARDISes so that that I don't want to eat it because I don't want to cut into it. But all right, let's get into our next topic for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from Crystal. Crystal is for giving the shout-out for D438. That's D, the letter I, the number 438. Crystal, can you tell us about DI438?
I most certainly can, and I can say this was almost like a joint decision because Joe joined me in this, picking this.
Woohoo, it's
woohoo, yes. I was trying to come up with a name like, you know, like J-Lo, Joe, but I wasn't working out too well, so there. I'm just going to have to just throw your name in there. But this is for D, Miss Queen David, that's usually here, but I don't think she's here tonight. Dee's a good friend of mine. She's one of my best friends, and she is a wonderful follow. Dee is she's a retired teacher, and her specialty is early childhood education, and her profile says that's what she's interested in: gardening, amateur photography, iPhone, iPad addict, music, art, and movies, liberal politics. And she's also got her website, d438.postress.com, where she's got pictures and quotes and stuff like that. Dee's a cool chick. She's a real liberal mother and grandmother, and she's a wonderful follow.
Yes. If you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Give DI438 a follow and tell her you heard her on the show.
Totally follow D.
Yes, give her a follow. Definitely give her a follow. I think I follow her on Twitter as well. I don't follow too many people, but if you get a follow from me, you consider yourself lucky because
it took me 2 years.
Wait,
it
man, did. Like I'm gagging a little bit. Okay, go ahead.
It did. It took Joe 2 years to get me to follow him. So and okay. Now he's on the show.
It took me 2 minutes.
So don't.
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Was it 2 minutes?
And that's with me at mentioning you all the time.
For 2 years. All right. If you want to contact us, we're going to give you the information how to do that right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as PackardPokesAt on Twitter and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook /PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
Joe, are you out of breath?
That's from kissing your ass, trying to get him to get you to following. That's what it was.
It took 2 years.
This is what it took.
Yeah.
He's like, will you do the promo? I'm like, oh, I guess so. And then afterwards, I get the notification. He's like, Packer Sonic follows you. I'm like, get the out of here.
Okay, so for a small fee, I will instruct you guys after the show how to get Packer to follow you very quickly, okay? Sign up there below.
Right. She'll take tens and twenties and hundreds if you've got them laying around. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming. If you want to join us on the show, come to vaughnlive.tv. That's VAUGHNLIVE.TV /PackardPokes at all one word. Friday night, 9 p.m. For now, until we make a decision if we're going to move the show to a new time or not. So come to the show, join us in the chat room, have some fun, and we'll see you there, hopefully. That's it for us tonight. Thank you all for coming. This has been Packard Pokes That We Just Poked at Your News.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids! It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Contradictions in the Bible. After Jesus was taken down from the cross, who were the first visitors to his tomb? According to Matthew 28:1, after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. However, in Mark 16:1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. However, Luke 24:10 says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. And then finally, in John 21, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So clearly, each gospel has a different account of who and how many people visited the tomb of Jesus. Did you like that, kids? Would you like to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.
Oh.